How many of those 6,000 would return the next Sunday? Would 2,000 return? And of those 2,000 that returned, let's remove the ones who are simply invested in the institution of the church. Now how many return? How many return and continue to worship out of love for God? I don't know. I'm making all of this up, of course. But my point is that selling eternal life is not the best way to build the faith. A faith predicated only upon what must I do to inherit eternal life is forever doomed to legalism and minimalism. Legalism, because one thing or another will eventually be regarded as the ticket to heaven. Christianity historically has offered several different tickets to heaven. The second and third century church was selling baptism as the ticket to heaven, the Roman church selling sacraments, then indulgences and sacraments. The Lutheran church was selling baptism tickets, and the Reform movement said all the tickets are already pre-sold. You either have one or you don't have one. The fundamentalist said the ticket is believing the right fundaments. If you believe the wrong fundament, you've got the wrong ticket. Forget the tickets. We want to live right now. We want to serve God right now. We want to have relationship with God right now. Let's let God worry about how he will get us to heaven. Let's trust God to work out those details. And you and I will simply serve him, obey him, trust in his Son, trust in his word, and take him at his word. That's the basis of relationship. How does that sound? Trust. On the other hand, it says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And what fear could be more compelling than the fear of eternal judgment? A proper understanding of the jeopardy we all face as we stand before the Creator should be enough to make even the most calloused sinner repent in genuine tears of contrition, quaking in one's boots, if only we could really grasp it and lay hold of it. Without the fear of God, it is impossible to even take the first step of faith. Even the righteous must possess a healthy fear of God, fear of retribution, fear of punishment. But fear of damnation is not a compelling reason to begin the journey. Far more compelling is fear of failure, fear of despair, fear of isolation, fear of loneliness, fear of inadequacy, fear of sickness, fear of danger, because these are tangible realities in this world with which we must deal on a daily basis. Eternal life, eternal damnation, until we actually get around to experiencing them, can only be abstractions in our minds. The Israelites, for example, were quite comfortable dying eventually in Egypt. Eternal life is a beautiful heritage. It is the most beautiful heritage, the resurrection and the kingdom and the world to come, the heritage of the sons and daughters of God. But it is not the eternal life thing for which we serve God. We must serve God with our whole heart. Jewish philosophical, esoteric thought supposes that the heart is divided into two chambers, two halves. One half the heart is full of the fear of God, fear of punishment, fear of the unknown, fear, dread. The other half of the heart is filled with the love of God, love and desire, thirst for God, delight in God. And that's why it's written, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your whole heart, with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. These commandments are to be on your hearts, and that is what we are selling. The love of God, the fear of God, the commandments of God on your heart, fear of God and love of God, relationship with God, sons and daughters of the Almighty, allegiance to his kingdom, allegiance to his risen Messiah King. If you don't have relationship with God, then consider this. Consider his Son, the Messiah King, who beckons you to enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, come, follow me. And it requires you to do that. We aren't selling eternal life tickets. Eternal life is a product neither you nor I can deliver. We are selling relationship with God, real relationship. And God wants you to set your life right. He has a plan for your life. And by the power of his Spirit, he wants to inhabit your life and make you truly alive in the here and the now. And eternal life, your neshama in heaven, and then the resurrection of the dead, that's a fringe benefit of the kingdom of heaven. The children of Israel passed from death to life as they crossed the Red Sea. They came up out of the Red Sea, and it says, Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. That's the goal. Fear the Lord, believe in the Lord, and in his servant Messiah. That is what we are working for. If I truly believed that my efforts were the only difference between everyone in the grocery store going to hell or not going to hell, what would the proper reaction on my part be? Imagine if the grocery store was on fire, if it was going to burn down, but nobody inside knew it, and everyone was killed because I didn't tell them. I'm just going about my business, buying my groceries. You'd say, that's immoral, that's sick, you didn't warn those people. So if I truly believed that everyone in the grocery store is going to hell, or not going to hell, based upon my effort to evangelize them, it would be immoral, it would be sick of me, not to be running through the aisle, screaming, beseeching people, repent, repent, please, please repent. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that my efforts are the only difference between everyone in the grocery store going to hell or not going to hell. I believe that Messiah is the only difference. God's calling, pursuit, and in one sense, election must also be factored in. It is God who saves, and it is God who damns. He says, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. This means that I could evangelize all my life and never save a soul. God saves souls. But here's the concern. If my efforts aren't saving people, then why should I bother at all? It's not my business, it's God's business, then who cares? The assumption is that you will not obey the command to share the good news simply because you have a commandment to speak the gospel and make disciples. The assumption is that we need a better motivation than simple obedience to the good news. We can't be trusted. We wouldn't bother sharing the gospel with anyone if it wasn't for the guilt factor. So why bother evangelizing? And my answer is this: because it is a mitzvah of the master. That's what discipleship is all about. He tells us, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he tells us, go into all the world, making disciples of all nations, immersing them in my name, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he tells us, you shall be my witness, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. So it's not an option for us. It is mandated. And what's more, it is mandated out of a heart of love. You do not have the luxury of saying, well, I'm just not the witnessing type, any more than you have the luxury of saying, well, I'm just not the monogamous type. If we are followers of Yeshua, this is what we do. We witness. We evangelize, meaning we gospelize. We tell the good news. We aren't selling fire insurance from hell. We don't have to sell anything. We are simply telling people good news. And if that's my job, then I want to do it well. I want to be useful to God. I want to be a good disciple. It's a matter of obedience. What does the Gospel of John mean by eternal life? John 17, we read, when Yeshua had spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And then at this point in the text of the Gospel of John chapter 17, it makes an aside, an important aside. It says in John 17 verse 3, it just moves to the side and says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Yeshua the Messiah, whom you have sent.